Word of God's simple. You don't have to memorize a lot of verses. You don't have to know what, you know, like, oh, let's see here. What's that Greek word for boast? Oh, gee, but I wonder what the Aramaic word is. I wonder what the Latin word is. I wonder what the... you know, it's interesting. Like, we were taught, study to show thyself approved unto God. And, well, in the English is one of the very few languages that they translate that study. Even in some of the English translations, they don't translate that study. And so there's nothing wrong with studying, but the goal of studying the Word should be to get you closer to that walk with God. And if it's not, then maybe you're not studying right. And maybe you're, I don't know why we'd want to get off in intellectual things, but humans do that. So here's another statement I made to that guy. We've been handed a load of crap. And we were told that it was Christianity. Well, it wasn't. It was religion. It was philosophy. It was tradition. But it wasn't the simple truth. Let's go to Luke. Chapter 11, verse 52. You know, sometimes I'm tough on people. And I really had to learn to be that way. Because by nature, I was one of those people that never rocked the boat. And never said anything to upset people, and just accept everything the way it is. But usually with most Christians, I'm that way. But if somebody is a reverend or a pastor or a teacher or some sort of thing, and they're doing what's wrong, then I get a little upset with that because God gets upset with that. Here in verse 52, it says, "Woe unto ye lawyers!" Now this is not talking about the guy that runs the commercial saying, if you've been in a car accident, call so-and-so and we can help you get the, you know, he might be helping. Because, you know, I had something to happen, a traffic thing, and I needed a lawyer a couple times in my life. And sometimes that happens and you need that. But this lawyer here is talking about somebody that studies the Old Testament law. For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. You didn't enter in yourselves, and then you hindered those that wanted to enter in. I sort of paraphrase King James. But that's what happens is some of these people, they've got this great knowledge, but are what they're teaching really helping people? Or is it making them look smart? Oh, they're the great one. They're so smart. If we want to know what the Word says, we got to go ask them. No, it's God and Christ in you. God will show you what the Word says. There's maybe a few things. Remember the old PFL class? Doctor taught us 90 to 95% of the Bible can be interpreted right where it is, even in the verse. Even in the old crummy King James translation, it's still that way. It's simple. It's powerful. Christianity is the way of a father with his beloved sons. Biblical research does not lead us down that. Let me read what I wrote here. Any biblical research that does not lead us down that path is a waste of time. And I've always tried to do my biblical research based on needs. And I think a biblical research should be done. You should see there's a need in the body, and you should meet that need. That's how the Apostle Paul, these epistles that he wrote, you know, there was a need for people to know, learn how to get born again. That's why Romans 10, 9, and 10 is there. There's a need for us to know what we have in Christ. That's why Ephesians is there. So I was going to Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Second Timothy.
2 Timothy, what is it again?
Chapter 4, verse 3. Oops. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And there's a real famous guy who I remember back in the 70s, he was writing books about end times, you know, the late great planet Earth, or... You know, some of those, and he'd say, well, in the book of Revelation, this is what it all means. And then what happens is the whole world changes, Like, you know, he'd say, well, the bear represents the Soviet Union. Well, there hadn't been a Soviet Union for, what, 30, 40 years? So that's not right. You know, oh, then comes out with a new book. Well, it all represents this. And then another 20 years comes out with it. In the meantime, he's getting rich, and everybody's thinking how smart he is, but yet none of the stuff he said came to pass. So, like, well, what good does it do you to learn some of that stuff? Is it helping you at all? It is simple. It is so simple that many will reject it. Christianity is not about leaders. It's about walking like Adam or walking like Christ. And basically, they both walk the same way. Except Adam, he just basically... And it's also interesting. Adam didn't have a Bible. Mm-hmm. Adam didn't have the word written in the stars. Because God couldn't show him that yet, because that was talking about the redemption of man, and he hadn't fallen yet. But what he had is he had that direct access to God, and he walked day in and day out. And God come to Adam and said, hey, you know, it's not good that you're alone. I think I'll take a little something, a little marrow out of your rib and make you a helpmeet. And Adam go, hey, she's pretty good looking. I like this. This is nice not being alone. Because, you know, he didn't have a smartphone to look at. He didn't have Facebook, and he didn't have YouTube, and he didn't have Netflix.
All he had was animals and plants.
Yeah. 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 He could watch, you know, the leaves grow. That kind of gets old after a while.
Remember we used to have a thing where you keep a tree.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5.
I don't get that.
You teach a tree. It's just a practice teaching you.
Yeah.
And Dr. Roy used to go out in the woods and deliver a sermon to a tree.
My favorite example of that, remember that old movie, Pollyanna?
I know exactly where you're going.
No.
Oh,
well, I mean, I remember the movie.
Carl Malden played the reverend.
Right.
And he was this hellfire and brimstone reverend. And he's out in the woods and he's teaching, and it's dead trees, big 100-year-old dead trees. And the bark's peeling off, and the woods are all gnarled, and they would just look. And he's teaching, practicing his sermon. He goes, death comes unexpectedly. And it's just, and little Pollyanna comes along, and she's delivering a message from her Aunt Polly, and she's saying, she's listening to this, and she says, yeah, her dad was, she was an orphan, and her dad used to be a preacher at some, you know, those missionaries, and he said, you know, my dad used to preach like that, but then he changed, and he started saying, he said, if I really want to reach people, I should use some of the happy texts, you know, like happy in the Lord, joy in the Lord, stuff like that,
and convicted him.
I mean, he started crying, and going, oh my God, it took a little girl to show me I was off the word. And yeah, death comes on. And there's one scene where he's teaching that in the church, and he's in the chandelier shaking, and everybody went to the church. They all said, yeah, we always get sour stomach on Sunday. And why is that? You know, because that sermon he preached make everybody feel sick to their stomach.
Wow.
So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And it says, verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in hellfire and brimstone. No, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And verse 7, verse 8. Now, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. Walk as children of light. See, we just walk like Adam or Christ walked. You know, we don't have to go around. It's like, you know, if you work, I remember when I used to be in the way, and they'd say, well, if you work with a homosexual, you got to reprove him. Well, you know, it's like when Dr. Werwolf talked about the alcoholic that came to church. He said, well, you know, he said, you just put me deeper in what I was in.
Right.
You didn't help me any. You know, if you go condemn somebody's sin, You know, he said, you did this, you lied, you did it, whatever. We're all sinners. We all come, you know, but we walk in love, not the hate. Because you can use the word to hurt people. Verse 15, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So, leader-based Christianity always leads to corruption. And it's like, it becomes like a spectator sport. You got these big mega churches, you know, you got one guy up there, you know, in his crystal cathedral, and there's 5,000 people in the congregation, and you're just looking at the back, you're sitting behind somebody like this. You're just looking at the back of their head. You know, that's basically all it is. And you're rooting for, it's like going to the football game. Oh my God, touchdown, yay! You know, it should be a participation sport, not a spectator sport. To see, you know, and everybody see how great the teacher is because he figured out how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Well, do angels even dance? You know, it's stupid. Let's go to Acts. This is my last section of scripture here. I'm running a few minutes later than I wanted to go, but that's all right. We're having fun. Yeah. Chapter 4, verse 1. And see, that's one of the things. I remember in the old days, it was like we'd want to witness to somebody and then say, well, you know, you can speak in tongues. You can operate manifestations. And we were taught that we weren't supposed to lead them into speaking in tongues or teach them how to heal people. That, oh, we need to let them have the class do that, mm-hmm. because Dr. Werbel took him 20 years to learn how to do this just right, and we weren't smart enough to do it. Well, Sangha Bains over in India, they were doing it that way, and he had moved the word much greater than Dr. Werbel ever did. It's interesting, there was one guy that used to be one of the board of trustees in the Way, and he left the Way, and I was emailing him for a while, and I sent him a video of Sangha Bains moving the word. And he said, this is really interesting. He says, who are these people? And they said, this is an awful lot like what we learned in the Way. And I said, well, because Sangha Bains went through the Way Corps, and he took the word over to India, and he moved it according to what would work in Indian culture. And the guy was just dumbfounded. He had never even heard of it, you know? And it was one of the great movements that happened in the word in the last 30 years. And this guy was in this position, in this ivory tower position. All they knew was their little world of the Way International, and they didn't see what was going on other places. So, Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And they spake to the people, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being happy. Grieved. And I got a word in my center margin here. Exasperated that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And basically they laid hands on him, threw him in prison, had this big confrontation, all this stuff went on. And here's where I'm going to need you to look up in verse 13 in the Message translation. I'm going to read it in King James, and then you can read it from the Message, because the Message really gets it right here. But I'm going to read King James first. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Here it is, these guys, they had not been through the seminary. They hadn't gone through all the right channels, and they were getting the results. You know, they either spent, depending on which school of thought you follow, they either spent six months with Jesus, or they spent 3 years with him. I'm not sure which it was. But either way, they didn't learn the word through the proper channels like all the religious leaders of their day did. So why don't you read that from...
So it's verse 13?
13, yes.
Okay. It's got 13 and 14 together.
Yeah, the message does that.
Right. So it says, they couldn't take their eyes off of them. Peter and John standing there, so confident, so sure of themselves. Their fascination deepened when they realized these two were laymen with no training in Scripture or formal education. They recognized them as companions of Jesus, but with the man right before them, seeing him standing there,
yeah, keep
so
going.
Upright,
yeah.
So healed, what could they say against that?
Yeah. And see, that's where God really moves. God sometimes will move with intellectuals. The Apostle Paul was a great intellectual, but yet you see where he says, I counted all that stuff as dung. Mm-hmm. It was a big pile of steam and brown poop. You know? And but God looks, but he was able to reject. A lot of times intellectuals can't get by everything they've been put into their head, and they're stuck there. And this guy I was emailing, he was very upset that I said we'd walk like Adam. He says, well, we don't want to walk like Adam. Christ is 1,000 times better than Adam was. Well, the only reason Christ was that much better was because he didn't sin. If Adam hadn't sinned, they're equals. And if Jesus Christ had sinned, he'd be just down as low as Adam.
And there's a verse in one of the Gospels where it calls Adam the Son of God.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And Adam means man. And so, yeah. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share today. The simple truth. Simple truth from the Word. And we can't, you know, we can walk with God. We have direct access. We have that power. We have that friendship. Like, God's our best friend, and he's with us every day. And he's so big that he can be my best friend talking to me, and at the same time, he can be your best friend talking to you, and then 1,000 other people at the same time, because he can be, he's all-powerful and all-present. And he's not like all the other spiritual beings or people like us, you know, we
he's not the God of the hills like they thought. One of the enemies thought at one point. Let's do battle on the plains because their God's the God of the hills.
Yeah, yeah. That didn't work well for them, did it?
I used to always kind of feel like guilty, like I didn't do enough when these people who had lived their lives, like, you know, they were ministers, they were like paid ministers, and so their job was to work for God, and that we were to strive to have that kind of a lifestyle where our lifestyle basically was all about the Word, nothing but the Word, all about, you know, serving the Word, and or reading the Bible every day a certain amount of time, or praying for a certain amount of time, and I just didn't feel that I could live up to that expectations. And then I realized that God says, work or you don't eat, so I work so I can eat. That's doing the will of God.
In Colossians,
I want to work every day. I can include him in everything I do, and you know what? That makes God really happy.
Adam had to work.
Yeah, that's right,
he did. In Colossians it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord. And then the next verse says, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Or Christ Jesus, I can't remember.
So it just freed me up so much to know that I can live a life that includes, and I just include God in everything I do. And yeah, some, you know, when you're at work, sometimes you have to focus in on what you're doing. You're not always constantly speaking in tongues or whatever. But it's always that awareness that God is always with me.
Well, that's what God wants. He doesn't necessarily want us out. We don't have to, oh, I didn't witness to anybody today, God must hate me. No. If God wants you to witness to somebody, he'll tell you. Otherwise, are you that person that's knocking on somebody's door and witnessing to them when they don't want to hear it, and you're driving them farther away from God?
Or are you talking to everyone at work about everything to do with God, and you're not doing your job?
And yeah, and then you get fired.
I got in trouble for that when I was younger.
Yeah.
I recognize opportunities when they pop up, and that's when I use them, and so far they've worked out very well.
Well, it's like the Old Testament, Elijah, and that guy Naaman came that had the leprosy.
Oh, yeah.
And Elijah's sitting in his little office here, sipping tea, just passing the day, no big deal. And the guy comes out from a great journey with a whole entourage from another country and wants to get healed. You'd think he'd go out, put his best robe on, have a big religious ceremony. No, he just said, hey, servant, go out, tell him he washes in the Jordan 7 times, he'll be healed. Goes back sipping his tea, whatever he was doing. And, you know, walking with God's that simple. You just, it's like, okay, God, what should I do here? Send out your servant. And when the guy went and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, he got healed.
But he didn't want to do it at first because it was too simple.
Yeah. Yeah, it was too simple. A lot of people reject it out of hand. It's too simple. But God is he's a wonderful God. It is that simple. And a lot of times when people think they're working for God, are they working for God or working for a church or a ministry or an organization?
Or for their own
thoughts
of themselves.
Or to impress other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't need to impress each other. No. The only one to impress is God. The only way you impress God is just, hey, God, let's spend the day together. Now that impresses God.